This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Shipping safety fears mean more vessels are avoiding the Red Sea. Hello, you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and a very good morning to you. One in five major commercial ships are now avoiding the Red Sea because of the threat of attack, according to the head of the International Chamber of Shipping. Instead, they're using the alternative route around the southern tip of Africa, and that can add anything from 7 days to 2 weeks to a vessel's journey, and that's adding to cost. The British Retail Consortium, which represents companies in the UK, says higher shipping and insurance costs could have a knock-on effect on product availability and prices. Rachel Waring, she runs Waring's Furniture in the UK, which imports furniture to supply the hospitality industry. She told us about the impact this was having.
Well, we were due to have a container land the week before Christmas, and it's at least a 3 or 4 week delay that the container ship was rerouted. It's going round Cape of Good Hope. So it's at least 3 to 4 weeks, which is very problematic. This particular client is a holiday resort and they refurbish all the lodges over the off-peak season, so it is problematic. We always organise our own shipping. So this one was already pre-booked and the price was set. But obviously for that company, they will have lost money on this route because they've got to pay the staff for that extended length of time, feed them. It's a big impact on them. So obviously they're going to try to recompense for that loss on these current shipments. And also, we just don't know how long this is going to go on for.
And what about pricing? What is she seeing?
In the peak of COVID, container shipping prices went up to $10,000. Per container, where it used to be sort of about $1,200. We had actually got right back down to $900 a container recently, but within just the last week, it's already shot back up to $3,000. I see that going further. And the problem is we have to kind of bake in these costs when we're setting the prices for the year ahead for these clients. And unfortunately, it is going to have an impact on prices. And obviously, that's not great for inflation.
That was Rachel Waring from Waring's Furniture. Now, Tesla has been toppled off its top slot as the global leader of electric car sales. Its Chinese rival BYD sold 526 cars in the final quarter of last year compared to 480,000 for Tesla. So what is BYD? Patrick George is editor-in-chief of Inside EVs magazine.
BYD is maybe the most important car company that most people have probably never heard of. And I think that's definitely going to change this year. It is based in China. It's been around about 20 years. It started as a battery company that acquired a state-owned automaker. And, you know, like the rest of the Chinese auto industry, it's spent the last 20 years, but especially the last couple of years, really ramping up its battery technology and becoming, to the surprise of much of the established auto industry, an extremely advanced player in the EV space, something that outpaces, Volkswagen, Toyota, General Motors, a lot of companies that are still trying to figure out EVs. Like they're seeing now that, you know, here comes BYD out of China, and all of a sudden they've got some very serious competition that they didn't anticipate.
So is BYD eyeing the US market?
It is still predominantly selling cars in China, but it wants to take over the world. It wants to expand into the United States, which is one of the most important global markets there is. For now, the United States has 27.5% tariffs on Chinese-made cars. Now, that was something that President Trump put in place, but President Biden has kept intact, too. And it's kind of fended off the Chinese for now. However, BYD is looking at building a factory in Mexico. They are almost certainly going to announce that they will do that this year. And once that happens, in theory, nothing will stop them from being able to sell cars in the United States without tariffs. And I think it'll be serious competition for our automakers when that happens.
That was Patrick George, editor-in-chief of Inside EVs magazine. Now, let's do the numbers. Now, despite BYD knocking Tesla off the top slot as the world's best-selling electric vehicle, Chinese EV stocks are down, and that's because the fierce competition in the market has put pressure on margins. Meanwhile, Turkish inflation has jumped to 65%, its highest level in a year. One of India's richest tycoons, Gautam Adani, has welcomed a Supreme Court decision not to authorise a new inquiry into alleged stock manipulation in his companies. Mr Adani said the ruling showed that truth has prevailed. The BBC's Ambarasan Etharajan reports.
In January last year, the US-based investigative firm Hindenburg Research accused Mr Adani's company of brazen stock manipulation and accounting fraud. Shares in the Adani empire, which includes ports, airports, mining and power generation, plunged after the report came out. The Indian Supreme Court set up a committee in March to oversee an investigation by the country's stock market regulator into the allegations. While refusing a new investigation, the court said the probe should be completed in 3 months.
The BBC's Ambarasan Etharajan there. Now, could you live with a constant ticking and a cacophony of chirping like this every hour? Well, if the answer is yes, then you could be qualified to take over as the owner of Cuckoo Land. It's a museum in the northwest of England, and it's dedicated to the cuckoo clock. The current owners, brothers Roman and Maz Piekarski, have no heirs, but think it's finally time to hand over their collection. Roman says the brothers were interested in clocks from an early age.
In the family home, there was always a cuckoo clock, and we used to watch the old clockmaker from across the road. Come 15, I got an apprenticeship in Manchester and so did my brother. I'm turned 70. My brother's 69. I think it's about time I started to take it easy.
It's about time. I like that. That was cuckoo clock collector Roman Piekarski. And that's me, Leanna Byrne, with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.